Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, all the fallout from the vote in the Dáil last night. Should the government regulate short-term holiday lets or wait for the EU to do it? We debate. Brian O'Connell finds out about how shortages of anti-seizure medication are affecting people who rely on it. Spring has definitely sprung, but why do we love it so much? Weather forecaster Joanna Donnelly and farmer John Connell will join us later. Cruise ship holidays are in high demand again. Fionn Davenport has been finding out why they're so popular. And do you think you know how to wash your clothes? Well, Agnes Boucher-Hayes explains when to use a 30 degree wash. Are capsules, liquid or powder best? And do sheets really need to be washed at 60 degrees? Now, if you can answer any of those questions for us, as well as Agnes can, text us on 51551 or email todaycb@rte.ie. On Twitter, we're at Today with Claire. First, though, this morning, I'm joined on the line by Minister of State for European Affairs, Peter Burke, who's in Brussels today as the European Council meeting takes place. Good morning, Minister Burke.
Good morning, Claire.
Now, I know EU leaders are going to discuss Ukraine, the Windsor framework, the economy, energy and migration, and we'll come to some of those issues a little bit later on. But just on domestic issues, briefly first, excuse me, the government won that crucial vote yesterday. But you must be wondering now at what cost, because people now know the coalition is prepared to willingly increase homelessness and take a gamble that people won't care.
Well, it's not. I think the decision very clearly demonstrates we're trying to respond to a very acute crisis. We've put exceptional supports in for people who are in danger of eviction. There is a new tenant in situ scheme which has been upskilled. The Department of Housing are very clear now that it's set in train a process that anyone who's been in danger of eviction, who are council tenant, will get the support that they need in terms of with the council purchasing the property, but also in terms of those people who are not meeting the social means test beyond the social housing list, but providing support to them in terms of a bespoke cost rental programme, which also will assist people who are in danger of homelessness.
A lot of those measures that you outline came about as a result of a deal cut with the regional independents, and you've shown that you'll pander to those people, even if it upsets your own TDs and ministers. So the question I ask you this morning is, are they going to get anything they ask for from here on in?
No, unfortunately, that's not correct, Claire, because in April 22, we reinstated the derogation sanction to local authorities to allow them purchase new properties. So it's not.
And they didn't do a whole lot of it. We know that from the figures.
But secondly, the key point is, and what the government has demonstrated in a series of votes, be it confidence votes or other votes, we're well into double digits in terms of the margin that we are winning these votes. And the reason for that is when the government puts forward sensible proposals that are sustainable, it gets broad-based support within the Dáil. And that's very much borne out in the results of those key votes.
All right. Well, let's look at boxing off an independent with that assurance about nursing homes without discussing it with the line minister, Mary Butler of Fianna Fáil. Do you think that's an acceptable way for government to do business?
Well, there have been huge discussions in relation to nursing homes. You'd be well aware in terms of the derogation changed from up to 60% in terms of the income disregards. So a lot of work has already taken place on that.
But she didn't know about this measure. She wasn't even told about it.
Well, the minister in question would have fed into that form in the past, and that's why changes were made, because remember, it was 20% previously, it was changed to 60%, and obviously further work, and we're always open to making further changes which will help the supply of housing, and we continue to do that. And that's borne out in the facts in terms of the numbers of first-time buyers now at record levels, getting the opportunity to get the keys to their new home. Yeah, many of the supports that give them that Sinn Féin are obviously opposing tooth and nail. That's about 30,000 families.
That's completely off the point of a minister in your own government being less important than an independent whose vote you needed last night.
But that That narrative is absolutely not correct here. We have engaged in relation to the nursing home support scheme in detail, and you will well be aware, and many TDs in the Dáil have engaged in relation to trying to get a derogation.
Sorry,
for that
the minister who is in charge of this had a working group looking at this measure, and that process was happening, and somebody decided, the government cabinet, to ride roughshod here. Over her
That's
and not even
correct.
Tell her that this was happening.
Claire, that is not factually correct. There has been a huge debate about the nursing home support within the Dáil over the last number of months, and changes have been made already, as I pointed out. We've consulted with many different lobby groups. I remember the IFA in particular were one of those who were front and centre looking for that change because of the nature of farming and the ageing demographics attached to it. So anything that has positive effects on supply, we're willing to talk about and work through, and that's very much demonstrated by the critical mass of support the government gets in the
Okay,
Dáil.
So Mary Butler is wrong. She did know about it and she should accept it now because the
I
ends justifies the means.
No, Claire, I never said that. And please don't misquote me. We are prepared to work.
Well, you told me I was wrong when I said that she wasn't made aware of it, Peter.
No, you said in terms of that this was never discussed before. It was. That's factually
No, that's not what I said. I said Mary Butler is saying today that she wasn't consulted on this. And your response to that was that's factually incorrect.
Yes, because there's been a huge debate on this. I mean, it is no secret in government the changes that were proposed prior to this in relation to the nursing home support scheme. And huge work went on in bringing that about. And obviously we continue to make reforms in terms of how income is assessed. And anything in relation to the assessment of income that brings more rental properties into the market has to be welcomed by everyone.
Okay, so she's worried about this measure, that there will be premature entry of people into nursing homes. She's disappointed that this happened, that she hadn't been contacted about it in advance. This is what she told the Irish Times yesterday. So to go back to my original point, the measure was taken to satisfy independence and the line minister wasn't consulted. Is that the way that government should be doing business?
But that's not correct because the government, as I said, discusses many proposals about the rental sector.
What's
we've
not
made,
correct
we've
about
made a huge
it?
Amount,
What's not
we've
correct about
amount,
it? The minister wasn't
the
told.
The position is clear. The factual position is that changes were made already to the nursing home support scheme that were proposed, that were discussed in detail, and like any additional measure that will bring new property into the marketplace, many changes will be discussed again and into the future. So obviously these will have to be underpinned by regulations.
So the minister, you're saying now that the minister for older people didn't know what was going on in her own department because she's saying she's disappointed. No, I'm saying, look, she's saying she's disappointed today. She wasn't consulted on it today. You're saying this conversation was happening. She should have known about it.
I did not say that, Claire, so please don't misquote me. What I'm saying is there has been a significant amount of discourse and debate within the Dáil and proposals put forward by many parties, including people within my own party in relation to the nursing home support scheme, how we can free up additional property. That has been well debated in the past, so it's no secret for any minister in relation to changes proposed about it. So that's the factual position on it.
Okay, well, it sounds like you might need to have a chat with Mary Butler about that because that's not what she's saying. So looking ahead then, the Green Party after this will certainly be expecting Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to toe the line on all forthcoming climate measures, given that in the main they backed you last night.
Well, look, why they backed us last night is that it is the real proposal. The substantive issue is trying to increase the supply of housing. As I said earlier on, we've the first highest amount of first-time buyers coming into the marketplace in January. We're also trying to increase the supply of rental property. We have 30,000 new homes into the economy over the last year. That's the highest in about 15 years. We are building record levels of social housing, as I demonstrated before, the most since 1975. And also, which is critical, we have made huge changes to the rental market to support renters, like the rental tax credit, tenancies of indefinite duration, trying to extend, which we have notice periods for those who fall on tough times. And also we have the Community Welfare Office and indeed rent supplement to provide key support to people who are finding it difficult in the rental sector.
Okay.
And we will continue to do that.
And will the Green Party be expecting Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, do you think, to toe the line on forthcoming climate measures? Because we know that both parties were so uneasy about climate action measures that you agreed to last month, this memo on the matter that suggested things, controversial measures like congestion charges, that was dropped, pulled from the cabinet agenda.
No, all climate action measures are discussed as a part of government. Obviously, all those issues have to go through cabinet, be discussed by the leaders in relation to each
of them. But they weren't.
So
they were pulled. They were pulled from the agenda.
Well, that's part of negotiations. We are a three-party government. the leaders do really specialise in terms of doing negotiations in terms of what goes before cabinet, and all issues have to be discussed there. So I don't know any specific proposals that you're referring to. Congestion charges are something that are flagged, but we can't take on board congestion charges now when you have no viable alternatives in the main. And that's why we're trying to increase public transport, providing incentives for people to get better access to public transport and improved infrastructure attached to it.
Now, just on the Windsor framework, the DUP voted against it. We know in Westminster yesterday they said they won't re-enter power sharing at Stormont. What is the plan now as we get closer to next month and the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement?
Obviously, we're working as hard as we can to build up trust and with our Northern Ireland parties, which is very important. Our view is that we have to work within the framework of the Good Friday Agreement. We're co-guarantors, obviously, with the UK, and it's so important that we get the Assembly back up and running. In the General Affairs Council on Tuesday, we approved the mechanisms to establish a joint committee, which will happen this Friday, and get the regulations through in the European Parliament. And also the UK, you'll be aware, had their first vote in the Commons. So we have to keep working to get the institutions back up and running in Northern Ireland, because that's what the Northern Ireland people have voted for. And they need to take the key decisions for the citizens of Northern Ireland, because there's so many issues from healthcare and issues around the economy that have to be tackled and decisions need to be made.
What happens if power sharing cannot be revived? What is the next step? Because our government has said there can be no direct rule from Westminster, but there'd be some sort of a joint authority arrangement for governance in Northern Ireland. What would that look like?
No, joint authority is absolutely not the language of government. I think the Good Friday Agreement provides for a consultative role in terms of non-devolved issues in Northern Ireland through the British Intergovernmental Conference. That's the mechanism we would use in terms of consultative roles, because we have to work within the strands of the Good Friday Agreement. That's the key cornerstone in terms of trying to get the government back up and running. So our focus, again, and I'm ever the optimist, our focus is to work with the DUP and other parties in Northern Ireland to try and get the Assembly back up and running. And that's so, so important to us.
Let's come then to the European Council meeting today. The President Charles Michel says a priority for the EU is to guarantee security of energy supply, but at affordable prices. Now, you will have seen, I'm sure, the profits at ESB more than doubled last year, as we found out yesterday. What exactly is being done now at EU level to make prices more affordable for consumers?
Well, I think in the first instance, domestically, any utility who is making super profits, obviously the government has its mechanism now through a dividend that it can take, and that will be put back into support vulnerable people right throughout the economy. And also we have our cap in place throughout the EU, which has not been used as yet in terms of energy prices. So the leaders are having a look towards next winter, obviously, to see, you know, what our capacity is like, how we can strengthen supplies. And obviously Ireland has to be careful, because as reform goes on within the electricity market right around the European Union, we are obviously relying to a certain extent on some of our energy from the UK's interconnector. So we have to be very careful in terms of how we reform it, and obviously increase our capital funding to get more money into renewables to make the whole economy more sustainable.
Yeah, we did have high hopes, though, back as far as September of last year, that we would see help coming from the EU, because the energy ministers at that time, they agreed initial emergency measures which were aimed at reducing electricity costs for consumers. What has happened with those plans? Have those reductions trickled down?
Well, some of them have, but we do need to see more. I think the Taoiseach was very robust in the Dáil in relation to that, that we need to see consumers feel the benefit of the reduction in the wholesale price of energy. And that hasn't happened yet for residential consumers. And it's so important that it does. And the government stands ready to act if it doesn't. It has the mechanisms there to take money back from the companies and put it back into the wider economy to protect citizens and reduce the price. But we're very focused on trying to continue with that.
Now, the Ukrainian president is going to address EU leaders on a video link today again, and they'll be discussing this possible package of an additional €3.5 billion in new military help for Ukraine. Is the EU very firmly moving away from its roots as a peace project and gearing up to supply this ongoing war at its border for as long as it takes?
No, absolutely not. Obviously, Ireland is outside of that in terms of being a military neutral country, and we're focused in terms of providing key assistance through infrastructure for the electricity supply, infrastructure for damaged key infrastructure for that has been obviously subject to missile strikes, providing key equipment in terms of body bags our blood bags, support to in food, all those key interventions. And as I said to you before, it's very important to note that, you know, first responders that are, you know, responding to so much of the crisis out there need that type of equipment, and we're a key focus in doing that. President Zelensky also raised with the Taoiseach the need for the SME sector to get money and finance into it, and we'll be assisting in that as well to rebuild their economy. That's going to be a huge issue into the future for Ukraine.
I'm sure the EU is very concerned about those ever closer ties between Moscow and Beijing. You know, we saw just days ago the meeting of Chinese President Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin and the one-on-one talks that they held. How concerned is the EU about that?
That's very concerned. And obviously we face so much in terms of the threat to the single market, because at the moment you have the Inflation Reduction Act within the US, you have the Chinese economy in terms of the subsidies it's given for a lot of those renewable issues for batteries and lithium, all those areas that Ireland really needs access to. And our fear is, we're working with a lot of like-minded countries at the moment, is that, you know, the single market needs to be a level playing field. If some of the bigger countries like France and Germany got significant subsidies, obviously our capacity to benefit from that as a small open economy would be compromised. So we want to really ensure that we don't enter into a subsidies race with the US or indeed with China or any other economy. We need a level playing field. And obviously the main broad point, I think, is very welcome this week, Kerry, had the International Criminal Court, which we are a key supporter of, giving money to the prosecutor's office, has issued an arrest warrant for Vladimir Putin. So in any of the 123 states that he entered into, he could in theory be arrested. Mm-hmm. And the past has shown, while it hasn't jurisdiction in terms of two of the major countries in terms of Ukraine or in terms of Russia, that those people who have been up before tribunals for war crimes before, at one time thought they would never be before, but history tells us it will catch up on you, and that's a significant turn of events. And also we have David O'Sullivan, who has been appointed special envoy to deal with sanctions in third countries.
Yeah.
He's doing a huge amount of work to ensure that they do bite against Russia.
And just finally, I know that United Nations Chief Antonio Guterres will also meet EU leaders. There are stalled talks over how to ease global food supply deliveries. Now, he's coming with a fairly simple message. He wants the EU to make sure that Russian and Belarusian fertilisers reach developing countries, and that's despite sanctions against the two countries. What's Ireland's position on lifting very specific sanctions for the greater good, as the UN boss would see it?
Yeah, we want to really avoid sanctions on food and pathways in terms of supply chains that could compromise the ability of key ingredients or food to pass through. That's why we're really working and welcoming the Black Sea Grain Initiative, which was extended. And I know there's a bit of doubt over whether it's 60 or 120 days, but it is welcome that it has been extended. But we have to be very clear, and David O'Sullivan is very clear on this as well. We don't want a case where sanctions that are brought in have unintended consequences that in poor economies and more difficult areas that the most vulnerable suffer from them.
We would support the UN call to lift those sanctions on fertilisers.
Well, on fertilizer, we obviously have to work with our counterparts. There is a varying degree. I was at General Council Affairs on Tuesday, and there is a varying degree. We just have to follow through. At the moment, we haven't specifically committed to derogation. We want more information on it, because we do not want to see any unintended consequence to food security, and we've been very clear on that as a country, because that is the last thing we want to have against sanctions, because it would affect how people view them and in the broad base and how we're trying to get the better of this conflict in Ukraine.
We'll leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us, Minister of State for European Affairs, Peter Burke. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.